If you'd like to turn to the person next to you, or if you've had enough of that, you can just think yourself. What were two good things that happened in 2023? Whatever you like, two good things that happened in 2023. And your neighbour might be able to correct you if it was actually 2022 or... Okay, perfect. You might want a pen because as we do each year, I'll share a bit of what God's done and a bit of our hopes what he will do. And then at the end is your chance to ask any questions. So you might want to have a pen just so you can jot down anything that you'd particularly like to ask. So let me just take us through, first of all, what was happening in 2023, some of the highlights. Now, there are too many to list everything, so if I don't mention the thing that you were involved with, my apologies, it was beautiful and wonderful. So, 2023 began with the earliest conversations about Festival Teesside. A group of us were starting to talk about this big idea. What would it look like to have a festival to try and reach out to all the people across Teesside? Some of us went to see the Palau's at the Oakwood. We had nights of prayer where we prayed for the church nationally and for General Synod. We did some courses on listening to God, and we had lots of courses on sharing faith with our friends, how to talk confidently to other people who aren't Christians about what it means to be a Christian. We had various weddings, including Eliza and Michael, who are part of the church, and the youth started to do some fundraisers for Mexico. In May, we had street parties for the coronation, and you might have had one in your street. There was all sorts of partying that we did about the coronation. We had American mission teams here both in May and June, and they led family holiday clubs. And so we had lots of children into the church from our local community, and it was great, and we got the toilets painted. But I tell you, me and Catherine were very tired by the end of it. Bishop Sarah came to see us in June and she led services, and also in June we ran the marriage course and people provided those wonderful desserts, and me and Rachel very much loved running the marriage course. In July we had the church camp, so it wasn't our first one, this was our second one that we ran, and we had a bit of lightning, we had a silent disco, it was brilliant. The month after, a group of us went down to New Wine and lots of the youth served on team. In August, we met in the hall in tables, like we're going to do this August, and we saw more people, perhaps than ever, come and be part of the church for the summer. It was great. In September, the council worked with us, and they actually bankrolled for us a Ukrainian day, and we had like bouncy castles and all sorts of stuff out there, and it was great to welcome people in the community. We had a party in the park, and thanks to those who were involved in those. As we usually do, we hosted in November the Light Party, which was amazing and gave us the chance to share Jesus with people and to have a lot of fun. Some of us attended a church planting conference in October, and we also in here hosted the Deanery Vision Morning, where lots of people from churches across Teesside came for a day, and we each shared where our churches were up to and what we wanted to see happen. In November, we had a parenting teens course that was great fun and really encouraging. At Christmas, we launched the Scratch Choir and we had our first young adults Christmas meal. It was about this time that Jan announced that she was leaving to go on to move to Redcar Baptist Church, and we said goodbye to her and Chris and prayed for them and blessed them as they went out. We then started to wonder who God would send to us next. And it was a few months discerning that Kat was the right person, and you'll see her face on the screens at the end. We look forward to welcoming her in September. Over the year, as well as these one-off things, we had brilliant times in Connect. Thanks to that team, we had Messy Church, which became Discovery, and started to push the boat out with sharing faith a bit more. Joyful Craft continued to grow and became a close community. we launch new life groups. And if you're not in one, can I advocate to you, in a church this size, it's much, much easier to feel part of it if you're part of a life group. Stuart and Ruth started a new one, which was great. We spent nights petitioning God in prayer. We took the youth to satellites. We went to many of our local schools. We set up Christian unions. We shared experience on youth work and making disciples. We started the friendship group over at Timothy Hackworth, and we saw God do lots, as well as growing and re-establishing some of our connections with the uniform groups. We welcome lots of new people and welcome others as they went to serve God in other places. We welcomed Ben and Emily this year, and Ben, it has been such a wonderful thing to welcome you into our church and onto the team, and for Emily as she's stepped in to lead this bit in our children's ministry. There was a lot more that could be said about 2023. In 2024, it began with Bishop Paul leaving. We looked again at some of our ministries and started to tweak things to work out what would work better. During this time, Sarah Hope started to serve as our pastoral lead for the 9 o'clock congregation, and more recently, Nicola Dursley started to serve as prayer team lead for the 10:30. In February, the staff team attended the New Wine Leaders Conference and were energized and encouraged. A little bit later, we got to baptize Lillian and reaffirm Rory's baptism. And we saw people come to faith on our Alpha course run in English, as well as the one that we ran in Ukrainian. In the early part of this year, the PCC started to meet to pray and evaluate the direction of the church and what our vision should be. And hope you're appreciating the banner that we've got that's going to remind us what our vision is. We met together as a whole church for the Vision Day in February. And so that's part of what I want to bring to us today. I'm sure there'll be more that I haven't mentioned. It was a good year. Lots and lots of thank yous. Thank you to the staff team. You've been amazing. Thank you to the many volunteers who make the church what it is. Thank you for the youth and children's teams to Connect, Joyful Craft, Hymn Singing, Friendship Cafe, Midweek Communion, Discovery Church, Prayer and Worship, Home Visiting, and for the teams who lead and preach and make all sorts of things happen. Thanks to our wardens, to the PCC, to Diane, who helps keep us on track with our safeguarding, to the pastoral team, to those who come and clean the building, and those who serve in many, many other ways. I also wanted to say thank you for the ways that you serve that is not here. I regularly sit during a week and just remember all the people taking the light of Jesus all over our area. So wherever you find yourself during the rest of the week, thank you for all that you do in those places to see God's kingdom come. There are a few challenges facing the CV, and before I talk a bit more about our local vision, three challenges, some of which are also opportunities. The diocese have just received a significant amount of money to address a few priorities, and some of them match what we want to do very, very well. So here is one challenge: churches that are not reaching young people very well. We do amazing work here with young people. The diocese have applied for money to help churches like ours. How do we help to boost young people's ministry in other churches as well as our own? It's a challenge for the Church of England, but it's also an opportunity for us. And so we're in conversations, we're exploring what that might look like. A second challenge facing the Church of England is churches shrinking. Not our church, but lots of churches struggling, and particularly where congregations have grown older and feel like we've just run out of steam. Now, a couple of years ago, when we sent out the team to St. Paul's, that was partly the driver then. How can we help to re-engage, to kind of get another church going? And if you read the report by Paul Arnold about the St. Paul's plant, which we sent out, there's a lot that's encouraging. They've got 50 people who worship there every Sunday, most of which had no contact with the church beforehand. Their toddler group is between 30 and 50 each week. There's lots happening there that would not have happened if we had not sent a team out. Now, of course, there's stuff that we would do differently if we were to do it again, but there's been brilliant things that have happened through it. And so we want to pray and ask God, is there another plant, another re-energizing, perhaps planting a new service or a church or re-energizing a church? What might God have for us? Another challenge for the church that's perhaps less within our ability to kind of pitch in and try and bring a solution to is the mess in the church nationally around same-sex marriage and blessing and the lack of any sort of clarity of direction there. My thanks to the PCC who've been helping me navigate that throughout this year. It's been really challenging and difficult. And I know there's a variety of beliefs, of ideas in the room. I'm so grateful that we have been able to fix our eyes so firmly on the mission in front of us and to not allow ourselves to be distracted by all that's happening in the national church. It hasn't been easy. And if perhaps this national issue has resulted in you feeling unsure whether to give or serve your church here, please do talk to Guy. We absolutely want to be able to press ahead with all God's got for us in this place. So, our vision here. As you would know from the vision day, this is what our vision is. Apologies, our church computer has turned it into a horrible font, but let's not worry too much. As disciples of Jesus and the family of God, so we start with who are we? We are a family. We are related to each other through Jesus. We are called to love each other and be a community unlike any other. We're not just any old family, but we're the family of God. He's the one who brings us together, who calls us, who leads us forwards. So what's our calling? To be a blessing to our communities. I hope our local people say, thank goodness for the church. And I know many of them do. Because they see the toddler groups and they see the Ukraine Cafe and they see all the things that we do. And we want to increasingly be good news in all sorts of ways to our communities. We want to help people of every generation know God and find their place in his family. Young, old, anywhere in the middle, we want people to be able to come and say, I feel like I belong. I've found my people. In fact, that's what someone said to me on an Alpha course recently. I've been through my whole life not quite knowing who my people were. You are my people. And we said, amen, brilliant, we are your people. Come and join and be part of the family. So, three priorities. Let me just explain briefly what they're going to look like. The first one, to grow as disciples who make disciples. Jesus told his disciples at the end of Matthew's gospel to go into the world and make disciples of all people. And so it begins with us. Are we disciples before we might help anyone else to become a disciple? I asked the young adults last week, what's the difference between a convert to Christianity and a disciple of Jesus? I don't know what you would have said. What's the difference between a convert to Christianity and a disciple of Jesus? And really the difference is this. Imagine you went on a house tour. You went to go and look at a new house. And you walked in the front door and you said, I love this hallway. And so you wheeled your bed in and you sat up in the hallway and you just lived in the hallway. We would all think that's weird. What about the rest of the house? And so when we come to know Jesus, that's like walking in the door. We're like, we want to be part of his family. But actually, discipleship is when we get to know him better, when he changes our lives and forms us to be more like him. It's that ongoing journey when we become useful for Jesus in the world, when we get to know him better, and when we start to see our character transformed. The second little bit of this command, though, is to make disciples. And we've started, perhaps you're in a life group and you're using the resources I made, or you might be using John Mark Comer's resources because he's a bit younger and more attractive than I am. But whatever you've done, that helps us to grow. But this part of how do we help other people become disciples? Dallas Willard called it the great omission. Which is quite clever, isn't it? The great omission. Like the church has forgotten that we're meant to be doing this with other people. as we start to pray and reach out and want to see other people get to know Jesus. What I'd love us to be as a church, when if someone new came in, I could say, go and meet with any of them, and everyone in our church knows where to begin. How to help someone to open the Bible, how to pray, how to hear God's voice, how to structure your week around like being Jesus in the middle. I would love us if each of us felt that confidence to be able to say, I'll meet with you and I'll help you to get to know God and make those first steps. That would be really becoming a church of disciples who make disciples. And that's part of what we're going to be doing. Particularly in the autumn term, I'm going to be doing a little bit of training. Some of you, if I said to you today, I've got Bob who's a new Christian, could you meet with him and lead him in faith? You would say, great, I know what I'm doing. But quite a lot of us would say, I don't know where to start. And that's part of what this is all about. Second thing then is this, to be less busy and more family and invite others to come and find their place. The other day I was talking to someone, I think in their 70s, from St. Mary's, our sister church. And I said to her, how did you end up here? And she said, well, I live next door to so-and-so who comes to your church. And one day I said to them, can I come? And they said, yes. So I've been here 6 months. And it's better than I ever thought it would be. It's not boring, and it's quite unfamiliar. And I can say I've made a mess of my week, and they're okay with that, and they support me in it. But I never knew it would be like this. Lots and lots of us have people around us who would find the same. This is a wonderful church. I take so many services, funerals, baptisms, weddings, and so on, people in the community who come in and they go, oh, I didn't think it would be like this. This is much better than I thought it would be. Most people out there have no idea what happens in here, and it's a bit of a mystery why we come. And so can I encourage us to invite people? Three little pie charts. Research in the general population says 1 in 3 people would come if they were invited by a friend. So if you just thought about all the people you know who don't come here, who are your friends, 1/3 would probably say yes and would probably be gobsmacked and go, this is much better than I thought, and might even come to know Jesus. The second one's fascinating. This was research done in universities. 73% of students, if invited by a friend, would come to a church. 3/4. So if you're in your like 20s, that's pretty decent odds, isn't it? Lots of people are spiritually open. But the last one is a bit of an issue, because only 1/2 the people surveyed said they knew a Christian. And the other 1/2 went, I don't know any. So that's why our second priority is about being less busy, putting those times in our timetable of the week when we'd say, I want to invest some time in people who don't come to church. For me, I went through and every Tuesday is booked from now to forever for people who don't come to church. And you might want to do similar. How would you book it in time to make friends and to be kind and to be a blessing and to get to know people who don't come to this church? Our passage from Corinthians, which Grace read out to us, was a great reminder that the people before Jesus had a message too. Their message, though, was not nearly as good as our message. They thought their message was great and glorious, but if only they'd heard the message of Jesus, they would have thought, you know, this isn't that great compared to the message that's coming. We have an incredible message about the God who loves us and wants to know each one of us. And Paul tells us, who wrote that passage, don't be like Moses. When Moses met God, it made his face shine. And so he hid his face. And Paul says, don't be like that. Let's be bold. Let's let people know what it means to know Jesus. Let's enable them to find out. Advertising, as beautiful as our adverts are, isn't going to do the job that invitation needs to do. We're going to put a new sign on Yarm Road. If anyone would like the old sign with the big like earmuffs and stuff for the headphones, you can have the old sign if you'd really love it. But we're going to put up a new sign that says, we're a modern church where you can come and feel at home. That's what we want to be about. There's lots that we might invite people to. So this week, I'm going to send you out some stuff about Festival Teesside. We've got three local events going on that we're going to run in the area around here that you might invite friends to. And there's some big events for the whole of the area. And particularly, I'd highlight to you on the right-hand side, there's a women's high tea. There's already tickets there. If you've got friends that you'd invite, please do look at that. There's a men's barbecue and all sorts of stuff. Again, feel free to invite friends along to that. But when people come afterwards and we've invited them, that's our time really to show that we're family. So we want to be a church which invites people to join our life groups, invites them to the beach or whatever we're doing. One of the questions I ask people who are new to the church is this: 3 months in, who are your friends? Because we do a great hello on the way in the door. We've got really smiley people. But really the measure of our helping people to join and be part of the family is, who are your friends 3 months in? And so part of what we want to do as a church is to be somewhere where people can feel, yes, I know people, I'm valued and loved. So our third thing is to engage and disciple and reach 20s to 30s. There is quite a lot of research that says these generations are just missing nationally from churches. Now, they're no more important than everybody else, or no less important than everybody else, but we do need to think about how do we reach the generations that we're not easily reaching. So some of the things that we're doing is we've got the young adults group that meets every week and then once a month all together across Stockton-on-Tees. We've got lots of people who come into our buildings. And so Ben and Emily and others are in the toddlers groups trying to get to know people, to make friends with them. Partly because it's just great to be friends with people, and partly in the hope that people might see Jesus through us. In our area, we have an astonishing amount of schools. And what that would tell us is that we've got lots of people in their 30s and 40s. So we want to be a church that reaches out really well, to be somewhere where people think, do you know, I could fit in, I could find my place there. It might be somewhere I could ask my questions about faith. Someone recently said to me, do I have to buy a seat to come to church? In their 30s, never been. Lots of people just have never been, have no idea. I took a wedding 3 weeks ago, a couple in their 20s. It was brilliant. They were utterly gobsmacked. We sung hymns that they'd sung in primary school because they'd never been. They had no idea what it was going to be like. And by the end of it, they were much more relaxed and people were starting to ask questions. We want to be a church that orientates to help the generations that we don't have as many of in order to help them to discover Jesus. We will always be a place for every generation because Jesus was. It's not that some matter more than others. But what the research shows is that if we try and aim for 20s and 30s, everyone else will know they're welcome as well. So three priorities: to become disciples ourselves and to help other people to become disciples. Secondly, we want to invite people to join the family and find their place. And thirdly, we want to engage and reach 20s to 39s with the good news of Jesus.